Okay. Yeah, Asheville, North Carolina, Chimney Rock, North Carolina. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over these people, and we bind and rebuke the operations of the devil and the evil government that's behind this, that are doing evil things. We command them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth to cease and desist in their operations against North Carolina and Tennessee. Father, we ask you that you'll get people in there to help them, to feed them, to clothe them, to shelter them. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, there's people that are trying to get in there. They're people with teams of mules that are packing in there. There's patriots all over the country that are getting in there, that are trying to get in there and help. And the United States government is doing everything they can do to stop it. Did you know that we live in an evil world? Part of it. But part of it is a glorious world. Part of it is a wonderful world. We did have some tyrants in the political system that we need to clean out. And we're in the process of that. And that's part of the topic of our study today. We started it last Sunday, but today we're going to get into the marrow of it. But we do have a wonderful world. Just think how good it's going to be when we get all this mess cleaned up. Did anybody do what I told them to do? Did anybody look up the Act of 1871? You did. Well, that's when the Masons got in and changed our government. They changed our legal system. They even fondled with our Bibles and our religious system. There's not one square inch of your life that the devil has not manipulated in some way. But knowledge. Jesus said you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. You know, it's kind of amazing to me. You know, early on I got taught that the King James was the only Bible that you needed to ever look at. And I believed it because that's what somebody told me. And then I started wondering, well, who told them? King James did. Did you know King James was a sodomite and the evil son of a gun? Did you ever stop to think what the pilgrims, the people that came over on the Mayflower, did you ever stop to ask what the Bible was that they carried over here, that they founded this country upon, and why the evil government hated them so bad and their Bible? It's the Geneva Bible. This is the Bible that came across on the Mayflower. And the translations aren't that. It's the Geneva 1599. It's not so much that the way it reads, but it's their footnotes. It's their footnotes. That's what tore King James up. And King James was a tyrant, and he wanted total control of the people. So he made it almost impossible to have that Bible published. But you could publish the King James like crazy. So that's what they pumped out, and they told us it was right. So sometimes in order to get more and more revelation of what God has done for us and who Jesus is, sometimes it helps to have a little bit of understanding about history, world history. so we know what's going on. Now, can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? They actually changed our constitution in the Act of 1871. They changed it. But, you know, the same way that the pilgrims, our forefathers, got persecuted back in the day, we're being persecuted today. You know, you may not be getting drugged into courts or getting thrown into jail, but don't get me wrong, you are being persecuted by the devil. He's poisoned our air, our food, our water. He's poisoned everything he can poison. But we're learning the truth, and we're doing something about it. One of the best things that we can do, though, is the communion. This is one of the most important things we could do. And, you know, you don't have to have great amounts of faith. You know, an interesting thing? When the children were in Egypt, and God told them to take a lamb and to slaughter it and eat that lamb, but take some of the blood and put it on the header and the doorpost, and that'd be for their protection. Did you know that not everybody went in there, you know, had a full heart of faith? You know, there might have been some in there saying, man, I hope this works. You know, there might have been some in there shaking in fear. But they did what God told them to do, and they got under the blood. The ones that were under the blood got spared. The ones that didn't, they didn't. You know, you don't have to have a super faith to receive the benefits of the communion. You know, Jesus, he'll meet you right where you're at. You know, if you can receive on just a word, he'll give you a word. If you need someone to lay hands on you, he'll do that. He gave us this communion, and this is the good thing about it, is you don't have to receive a miracle today. You can get healed a little bit at a time. Did you know that? But what he did tell us to do is to discern the body of Christ. And when we discern the body of Christ, we'll see his grace. That perfect, sinless body of Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. And then he got scourged, and he took stripes on his back for our healing. And his body was pierced, not just on the cross with the spear. He got pierced when he got nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He got pierced when he got a crown of thorns. Everywhere that he got pierced, he shed blood, and every time he shed blood, it was intentional and it was for our redemption. And then God laid the full wrath of his fiery judgment on Jesus. The judgment that we deserve, Jesus took it all. So we're taken to this broken body for our healing, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. That blood of Jesus is so wonderfully pure that it washed away our sins, and it continues to wash away our sins. And it's because of this blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive grace and mercy in time of need. And it's because of this blood of Jesus that we've been put into right standing with God, means everything that was wrong between us and God before we got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus forever. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right. Let's read one of the most irritating scriptures I've ever read in my life. Parts of it. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I don't mind that part. I can get along with that. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For the longest time, when somebody would say to pray for our president and some of our people in Congress, that would turn my stomach. Because I had a really hard time praying for evil people that were trying to kill us. I didn't understand how we were supposed to be praying for them. But see, this is where King James, he didn't get along with the Geneva Bible. He didn't like this Bible. Because their footnote, what these people were telling us how to do this. You know something about the Word of God is that it releases the plans and purposes of God and it thwarts the plans and schemes of the enemy. Did you know that we have, for the largest part of the people in Washington, D.C., they have evil plans for you? And our job is to stand up to them. You know, we've been taught to be submissive to them. I cannot see in the Bible where it tells me to be submissive to evil. You see, we got to get this lined out. We're getting ready to go into a whole new age, a whole new dispensation. We got to get this right. And part of getting this right and part of getting this done is us getting in line with the Word of God. And putting that word out there on purpose. Now, over in Ephesians, well, I'm going to read a footnote here real quick before we take off. I'll go ahead and finish what we started here. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will that all men shall be saved and come unto the acknowledging of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, which is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all men to be that testimony in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth of Christ and lie not, even a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up pure hands without wrath and doubting. You know, in verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Having dispatched those things which pertain to doctrine, he speaks now in the second place of the other parts of the ministry of the word, to wit, of public prayers, and first of all declaring this question for whom we ought to pray. He teaches that we must pray for all men, and especially for all manner of magistrates, which thing was at that time somewhat doubted of, seeing that kings, and the most part of magistrates, were at that time enemies of the church. You know, there's some other things listed in the Bible, and if you'll turn to Psalms chapter 149, last week we found out that when somebody goes to court and a judgment is made, that the jury will come out and they'll read the verdict out loud. You know, the enemy has already been judged. Now our job is to read the verdict out loud and make that judgment stand. Psalm chapter 149, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let him praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, I remember when Hillary was running against Trump, and she said, them rednecks out there, they got a Bible in one hand and a rifle in the other hand. Well, praise God. Praise God. You should have a Bible in one hand and a rifle in the other hand and a pocket constitution in your pocket. You should understand these things. You know, I've said this before. Everything about our life sets on a stool, a three-legged stool. One of those legs is our Constitution. One of those legs is our Bible. And one of those legs is our rifles. You know, there's some churches that just can't stand you talking about guns in church. But did you know it was because God-fearing men that believed the Bible grabbed their rifles and went and enforced God's kingdom in this country? And then they wrote down the Constitution and they told us how to preserve our freedom. And how well we listened. My God, the church has been so silent for so long, so submissive for so long, and so defeated for so long. They've set aside the principles that set us free in the first place. They've set their liberties in Christ to the side. They don't want to cause a stir. They don't want to be noticed. It's time to be noticed. If there is ever a time for the church to be noticed, it's now. It's now that the church needs to stand up, grow a spine, and stand up and enforce the kingdom of God. This is our world. This does not belong to Satan. This was given to us. And Satan has been plundering this world for far too long. And it's our job to take it back and set the people free. That is our job. Our job is to stand up to that. And this particular psalm right here is a start for that. You know, verses 7 through 9 talks about judgment on the enemy. You know, it goes on to say, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron. Now, that doesn't sound like a peaceful prayer to the president, now does it? That sounds like a removal of office. And he needs removed. We need to have God-fearing people in Washington, D.C. Did you know that the Constitution is designed for a God-fearing moral society? And that the Constitution won't really work for people that are without any kind of morals. That's why they're trying to flood this country with third world people. You know, they're actually emptying prisons so they can send them here. Think about this for a second. That's not friendly people. It's people from all over the world that are complete godless criminals. And for some reason, we have church bodies that we're supposed to love everybody. Yes, we are supposed to love everybody. That doesn't mean that you invite them into your kitchen and have coffee with them. I'm really, really tired of pastors gaslighting people. You do love people. You love the people. You hate the sin. You know, but because you love somebody, that doesn't mean that you let them in your back door. Because you love somebody, that doesn't mean that you let them get away with whatever it is they want to do. You know, verse 6, it talks about weapons that we have. It says, may the praise of God be in their mouth and a double-edged sword in their hand. See, praise and a sword. Praise and the word of God. The double-edged sword is the word of God. And we offer up praises. In fact, the Bible tells us that you have been made kings and priests. You know, one thing about a king, he decrees something. That's what you do. When you speak God's words out loud, you're decreeing something. And then, as a high priest, you offer up praise to God. In fact, praise steals the avenger. I wonder, have any of you ever heard anybody praising God in the Capitol building? I don't hear that. I don't hear that. In fact, the only notable thing I've seen as of late, well, they did say some prayers here lately, but I'm not ever going to forget having them calling a Satan Satanic priest come into the Capitol building. I'm not going to forget that, and I'm not going to forgive that. These are evil people, and they don't even hide it anymore. They do it right in front of our face. So what does this sword do? You know, I talked about that in verses 7 and 8. Inflicts vengeance on the nations. So that inflicts vengeance on the enemy. It punishes the enemy. It binds the enemy with fetters and it shackles the enemy with irons. We want things to stop being the way they are in Washington, D.C. and Austin. I mean, we got to get our mouth in gear. We got to get the two-edged sword in our hands and in our mouth and start speaking forth what God said about that. Quit being submissive little sheep to the government. Yeah, we stand. One thing about the righteousness of God, which is what you are, when you got born again, you got made the righteousness of God. You have absolutely no business bowing your knee to intimidation, manipulation, or domination. Those are three things that the United States government seems to major on. Manipulation, intimidation, and domination. You have no business bowing your knee to that. Those three things are witchcraft. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you are to stand up to that. There are too many people that are running around afraid of the government. You know, our forefathers, the pilgrims, they lived hard lives. Some of them were separated from their families for years. They lived on coasts in just tents and whatever they could find. And they said, well, it's worth it. And they got on a boat and they came over here and the fight was still on. See, fight for our independence started long before they got to Plymouth Rock. The fight for our independence started before they got on the boat. In fact, there was, about a 10-year struggle of these guys trying to get out of Europe to get over here. And it was a costly fight. And now today, it seems like it's taken so lightly. It cost Jesus everything for us to be at liberty. And sometimes I wonder if people actually even count the cost. So who is the enemy? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, I looked that up in the Geneva Bible just because I wanted to see something kind of, see how that read. In Ephesians chapter 6, we'll start at verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there's the first clue right there. We don't have to be strong in ourselves. But we do need to be strong in the Lord. We do need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's what it's going to take to replace this government and get a God-fearing government back into Washington, D.C. It's going to take that. We're going to have to be strong in the Lord. We're going to have to stand up. We're going to have to praise God. And we're going to have to put his word forth. And we have to understand, even though our enemy is not flesh and blood, that flesh, that spiritual enemy uses flesh and blood against us. You know, not everybody in Washington, D.C. is Christians. Did you know that the same way God uses us in His kingdom, Satan uses them in his kingdom? So even though our enemies are spiritual, they do habitate flesh and bone bodies. So now you know which way to direct your warfare. It may be an evil spirit, but that evil spirit may be in the Oval Office. Now let's carry on here. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the assaults of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the worldly governors. That's not how it says it in your King James Bible, is it? See, they change little things. Little things, and then we accept them as being normal. See, we are to be, if we want to live free and peaceful, we're going to have to pray against the tyrants in Washington, D.C. Yeah. We're going to have to pray that God puts godly people into Washington, D.C. See, this. You remember when Trump started running and everybody went nuts? Republicans and Democrats alike went absolutely crazy. Because he was exposing the filth on both sides of the aisle. And they all knew that if he let that light shine, they would all be exposed. And guess what? They're all exposed. We know them for the rats that they are. And now we got to speak forth God's judgment on them. That's our job. That's our job. Using the Word of God, we battle against what drives the evil in man. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But did you know that that life of Christ is not going to be enjoyed by people if the church doesn't stand up and start doing something? Unfortunately, we got a whole great big group of what they call churchgoers that side with the devil. They're having a big church fight right here in town over that. And some people stood up to it, and some people are just following along like little blind little sheep. It's not just one denomination either. It's affected the Word of Faith circles too. Now the power of the Word of God. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? See, we do have an enemy. But we have big weapons. Unfortunately, not enough of the church is using those weapons. When you direct those weapons on an area, that rock is going to be destroyed. You know, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, it says, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. See, we got to get that word in the atmosphere. You know, the Bible tells us that the angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. So that means that we've got to take His word, get it in our mouth and in the atmosphere, so those angels have something to do. Too many people act like the angels hearken unto the voice of God, and they do. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. That means that if you say something in line with God's word, you got these angels going out there causing God's word to be performed on your behalf. Going back to Psalms, let's go to I want to look at Psalm chapter 19 real quick. Psalm chapter 19. Verse 6. His going out is from the end of heaven, and His compass is under the ends of the same, and none is hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, and giveth wisdom unto the simple. Thank God. He gives me wisdom. The statutes of the Lord are right, and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, and giveth light unto the eye. So the power of praise that comes from our mouths and the word of God in our hands, like we talked about in Psalms 149, when we combine the power of praise and the word of God, big things happen. Not only will you get wisdom, you get light, but also it steals the avenger and it causes your enemies to be defeated before your face. You know, the Bible tells us the enemy may come out against us one way, but he causes them to flee before us seven ways. But we need to get His word in our mouth and in the atmosphere. In the word of God, the sentence is written against the enemy. When we read it out loud, judgment is rendered not by us, but by the word of God. See, you don't have to go grab a politician by the neck, drag him out on the street. But we do need to get that judgment out there. We need to get that sentence out there. And here's the Lord's part. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 5. Verse 1. Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1 says, I looked again, and there before me was a flying scroll. He asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a flying scroll, 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide. And he said to me, this is the curse that is going out over the whole land. For according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished. And according to what it says on the other hand, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. The Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out, and it will enter the house of the thief in the house of anyone who swears falsely by my name. It will remain in that house and destroy it completely, both its timbers and its stones. Here's an interesting thing I picked up on. There's a lot of members in Congress that never did swear to the Constitution. They don't have a document of that. I wonder why. See, the devil knows. The devil knows that verse too. And in fact, there was a congressman that was looking for some kind of documentation on where these guys actually swore an oath to the Constitution. If we have somebody that has not sworn an oath to the Constitution and he's hanging around in the Capitol building, he needs to go. And if they swore an oath to the Constitution and they went against the Constitution, they need to go. In fact, one of them, when he got sworn in, he held his hand on the Quran. He needs to go. In fact, if he is on Yellowstone, Rip would have to take him to the train station. You know, we're in a mess. And part of the reason we're in such a mess is because of the traditions of men that we picked up on, the traditions of our forefathers that have made the Word of God to none effect. Little changes. You know, one of the things that I learned when I was a kid about communism, they said you need to boil the frog slow. Because if you just put him in boiling water, he's going to just jump right out. But if you boil him slow, he'll just stay in there like a sauna till he's cooked red. And I've noticed that in order to cool that frog off, you got to cool him off slow. Because if you give them too much information on what's happened, they clam up. They want to stay in that boiling water. So you got to cool off slow. We're going to get more and more revelation of what's been going on, what's happened, and where we're going. We're going forward, and we're going to keep learning. We're going to keep getting more and more revelation of this. But I promise you, if they just dumped it all on us at once, most everybody would say, no, I'm going to stay right here. Because people have these comfort zones, these little bubbles. And they don't like to step out of their comfort zone. I've noticed this. I used to be one of the guys, we'd find some woman in an abusive relationship. And we'd go, I had a pickup, so we'd go over there and we'd load all her stuff up and move her to a safe house. And she could be okay. But I noticed something. They were uncomfortable in society. And then pretty soon, they'd move back in there with their abuser. And I couldn't figure this out. I said, are they crazy? Well, no, here's the thing. They knew what to expect. There was no uncertainty. They knew it was, even though it was a bad situation, they were comfortable because they knew the rule. They knew the trail. And it took a long time for some of them to get set free from that. But people don't like not knowing. You know, really, in the whole scheme of things, you don't really know all that much. I don't care how many PhDs you got when it comes to God and His plans for us, you know very little. But we do know that He has plans for us to have a good life, for us to have a long life, and He'll satisfy us and show us His salvation. He has good plans for us. In fact, Jesus said that He came here that we could have life and have it more abundantly. You know, we haven't even really scratched the surface of His abundance. The devil has been stealing that abundance from us right out from underneath our noses. And sometimes people say, well, you need to be obedient and let him rob you. They don't say that in so many terms. That's what they say. And then some people are actually patriotic about it. I do my part and I pay all my taxes. Good for you. You throw your hands up in the air and let the robber walk off with your prosperity while you're waving the American flag. Ain't you patriotic? He's going away. And his system is going with him. But we need to speak God's word forth. It's written on that scroll, that word of God. But we need to take it and put it in the atmosphere. That's our part. God will take care of the rest. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your patience with us. And we thank you for teaching us more and more and giving us more and more revelation. And Father, we thank you that the past proves the future. And if we look far enough back, we can get back in line with your word the way we're supposed to. And we can take the twists out of it. And Father, we know that the Holy Spirit will teach us and show us how to live a free life, a redeemed life, a life that is even more super abundant, super healthy, and super safer than we ever even imagined. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here. Come on back and have some.